This is just a little bit of a view into conversations that IT folks have after hours. You're going to be the fly on the wall as we sit down and talk through the things that we talk through.
I'm John Flory. I'm the CISO of Harbor Networks, 30-year vet in the technology / security field. I never thought I'd be saying that, but it's been a lot of change. It's been great.
I'm Philip Rogers. I'm the CIO from Protocol Networks. I've got a career in IT operations that started out through AOL, through telco companies in the 2000s. And before Protocol Networks, I was the head of service protection for the Americas for the Royal Bank of Scotland. I'm excited to have some conversations and see where they go.
For the technical people, the people in technical leadership, what's really glaring to me is how they try to shield from the management and the stakeholders what's going on and how they are afraid. And I don't know the answer to this. You know, I work on it every day and I get frustrated, if you want to know, every day. Mm-hmm. That if they were to expose the stakeholders and the senior management to really what is happening and what is going on, it would take the heat off of them and help them so much. But instead, they don't want the senior management to know. They want to try to keep it to themselves. And these are just case studies I'm working every day. I'm trying to say, hey, we have to get the stakeholders involved because you're hanging out here, but they don't want to. And then something happens and they blame, you know, IT. And it's something that I don't know the answer. Mm-hmm. You know, some people will allow senior management to get involved and some people don't want them involved, to the point where if they have an incident, they don't tell anybody and they just try to fix it themselves, right? And that's just a disaster. So what I would like help with is an understanding is how to culturally make the technology decision makers understand that this is not their battle. Yep. It's not your battle. I know everybody thinks it is, and you think it is, but you're going to lose. So if we don't have everybody on board, the chances of you getting breached are just much, much greater. So what I'm working on personally is how do I get to not offend the technology leader and be able to get to the people we need to get to make them safer, you know, and more defensible minimally.
One of the things that I make as a recommendation around this, and it's tough because I make this recommendation all the time, but I know it's very rarely followed, which is IT leaders and IT security leaders need to talk to corporate leadership and let them know that if they're going to make a splash, if they're going to make an announcement, if they're going to do something that's going to make the company a target, they need to know ahead of time.
100%. And yeah.
The last thing that a CEO wants to do is go, let's get our CIO in here because I need to talk to him a week before we're about to make a large merger announcement. Or I got 15 minutes on CNBC to talk, you know, for an interview today. I should probably let my IT department know that, you know, we're going to potentially have some attacks.
So true. Yep. Right. It's so valuable. And you're right. It doesn't happen.
No. I think, and here I am making a generalization about, you know, people that head up IT. But for the most part, there are certain personality types that are associated with people that end up in CIO roles. And ones that kind of have that sort of relationship with the CEO tend not to be in IT leadership roles, but they need to get past their comfort level. They need to get into those situations and they need to be able to drive that. They need to know that, you know, our CEO is about to make an announcement on TV that's going to be throwing down a gauntlet for people, you know, all over the world. People that have never heard of our company are suddenly going to hear about our company. And that means for the next week, we're going to see an uptick in, you know, potentially looking at you as a target of opportunity. They're not necessarily going to dictate or direct all of their actions towards you or all of their efforts towards that organization, but they're going to do something.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Right. That's a great point, Philip. Do we have a seat at the table? Are we involved in those? Are we part of the strategy from, you know, a protection and possibly even, you know, productivity and availability and, you know, are we going to get flooded just from that perspective, even if it's not malicious, right? So there's a lot of reasons. that IT should be involved in all of that.
Yes. And that is advice that almost every time falls on deaf ears. And, you know, I guess in the grand scheme of things, I'm beating my head against the table on it. But at one point, this is going to happen. You know, they're going to get, you know, people are going to have to make sure that IT is involved for that sort of thing. All we can do is get better and let your, you know, executive leadership know that there is no such thing as perfect security. It's security in layers. In some cases, what you're doing is you're just mitigating damage because you can't physically stop them. And there isn't anything that other people really can do better.
Right.
It's tough.
Right on. I mean, that's where we're at. And it just makes what we're doing out there important, is try to get the word out, try to make people understand that you're going to have incidents, so you better be prepared for them. And that's my biggest message from this, is be prepared, have a practice session, ask the stakeholders in your organization, hey, could we have a couple hours to go through an incident and to see how we would respond to that incident? Because my experience is people are scared to ask them, but when they do ask them, they generally say yes.
Yeah.
So that would just be so helpful from not only a recognition, and it's almost a mini assessment, because when you go through those exercises, you're going to change things that, you know, you thought you had buttoned down, but you're going to tweak them. So there's going to be a lot of value there. The value beyond that is also the stakeholders getting a sense that, wow, when this happens, this isn't the firewall that made this happen, right? It was something that one of our staff did, or somebody else did, or we went on a TV show, whatever it might be. It brings that more to light, because the IT department sitting there with some tools, it's failing. That's the model right now overall that's failing. So we have to change that model. You know, there's so many people that say, okay, somebody stop paying the ransom, it would all go away. I see people that say that, and it's probably true, but it's not feasible.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. No one got paid. It's going to stop, but it's not feasible, or they're going to change it, or there's going to be something else. So it's really a cultural thing, and getting all hands on deck is where I'm seeing the biggest failure is IT security. It's not IT security. It's organizational security.
I agree.
And I think IT people, we're kind of our own enemies in it too, right? So it's all already around. It's a complete mindset.
I agree. And in some cases, we've got operations on one side and security on the other, and we are our own worst enemies in some cases. But I think in a lot of ways, we're a little bit more unified now than we ever have been, because we're all in that foxhole together.
Yeah, right on. Yeah. Right. That, hopefully. And that, if that's the case, then you're better off than most.
Yep.
I was in the, I went to the dry cleaners, and the lady's like, I like it when people wear masks in here. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm definitely fully vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And she goes, yeah, I am too, but I prefer people wear masks. And I go, so you're vaccinated? And she goes, yeah. I go, so are you going to wear your mask forever? And she just like kind of looked at me. It was weird. I don't know.
You know what's going to be weird? I do think that masks in places like the airport are going to be, that might be a forever thing. Over in Asia, it's pretty much, if you're going to go to an airport, a bus station, train terminal, stuff like that, people have been masking up
pre
COVID. Just because you've got people moving in and out of your region, you've got people that have different strains of different things. You know, that's just the whole, you know, just as a precaution. And I know some people that are just saying, yeah, you know, when I travel, I'm gonna mask up, not on the plane, because the plane actually has recycled air and it's better for you than most rooms. But the airport, the waiting room for 2 hours, or like the waiting area for 2 hours, that's.
Well, they say flus, colds, everything is way, way down. I mean, we're really healthy compared to what we used to be.
But that also means our immune systems are crap.
I know, dude. I know.
You know, it's going to be, when it does come back, we're all going to catch things like flu A that are, that we'd normally be able to fight off. And it's going to kick our butts.
I definitely think about that. I mean, we have been secluded here.
Oh yeah. It's going to be an interesting year, and you're going to have people that are still unvaccinated that are going to catch COVID and are going to get mixed up with some SARS viruses and RSA and common cold and, you know, flu A. And that's going to get all weird in the Petri dish.
So in order to find us at Harvard Networks, you can head over to www.harvardnetworks.com or go to LinkedIn and type in Harvard Networks, and you'll be directed right to our page.
And for Protocol Networks, we are protocolnetworks.com. And the same thing, best to find us on LinkedIn. We're not the best when it comes to Twitter.